Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence in You. It's Community Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. I'm your host for today's show, Rebecca Miller, and of course, my co-host today is Otto Loos, and we are talking with Christina Liu, who is the radio show producer of Project Independence in You, and we are coming on a 10-year anniversary, which is so incredible. And I want to talk about that a little bit, but just quickly, I wanted to throw out a little something. We were talking about technology and a list for those who don't have technology, which is a great idea. But, you know, there are times when the technology savvy people, you know, when you're in a power out and you don't have Wi-Fi, all of a sudden we become, you know, like, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's like nothing works, you know.
Please, the cable goes out, you know, in the Fennell-Lew household. It's like a natural disaster occurred. You should see the way my mom reacts. And Jay looks at me, my mom, crazy. You know, we're like, oh, my God, the cable's out. It's quite the thing. So that's why we have some, you know, portable DVDs. You know, it's what you have to plug in.
We are internet captured, if you will.
Dependent. You know,
our life wraps around it for the most part. A lot of it. Sure. Look what we're doing right now.
No, and it's true. Well, that's, you know, I know Rebecca and I can both say, you know, when we were working, you know, remotely for those months, you know, that was always the most stressful is like, because, oh God, like if the Wi-Fi goes out, then like now I'm not connected. You know, at least if the Wi-Fi goes out when we're in the office, you're in the office, so you could still kind of like do certain things, you know, but it is a very, helpless feeling, you know. I think we all certainly, that's a great point, because we all can understand what it's like for the person who on their daily basis isn't, you know, tech savvy, right. You know, so it takes out, it certainly makes things, you know, difficult.
Right.
You do.
Right.
So, but that is, and you know, preparedness is something that I want to remind people, hopefully you are on our Project Independence email newsletter list. That goes out every month. If you have email, obviously you can access it. You can just call 311 or 869-6311 and give your address you put in, because we had, the article was about preparedness. And it, on top of that, it's all the different programs and services that Project Independence is offering and that the town is offering. There's a lot of wonderful information in that. It's great because it comes out monthly. But also coming out is the hard copy of the Pioneer newsletter. So that gets mailed out to 60 and over within the town of North Hempstead, and that's about 2 to 3 times a year. So this issue hopefully will be coming out October-ish time, and that also is really focused heavy on preparedness, you know, but kind of all different realms of it, whether it's, you know, we have information about the kit, but then fire safety, you know, that was a topic we discussed on this radio show numerous times, and there's a lot of great information out there. So that also, if you want to receive, you are not receiving it, please call 869-6311 so we can get you on the list, because there's a lot of good information in those.
You know, and today, like we were talking over break, it's hard to believe that we are at the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. Tomorrow is September 11th, 2021. Yeah. And it's just amazing how time has flown by for so many of us, yet that day is embedded in our world, in our life. And, you know, we were talking how life has changed, how it changed all of us. And you know, everybody was in a different place. And you know, it's just, every day I think about it a little bit. You know, my mother had her apartment downtown Brooklyn, and for years, you know, we'd go up on the roof and look at the fireworks, and, you know, the Twin Towers were always there, and, you know, just an amazing sight to behold, walking over the Brooklyn Bridge, and she actually worked in the Twin Towers for a number of years, so we were there, and my, like, my I was watching the news this morning, and I think they had the manager of Windows on the World restaurant on top, and he was talking about that was the first day of school for his young son. And his son kind of talked him into, you know, say, hey, why don't you drive me to school? Like, why don't you take me to school today? So he was late. And everyone,
I know, you know how many stories like that, you know, and that's why it's just, I mean, it blows your mind to hear those.
He said everyone up there perished. And it seemed like what he did was he researched every single person who was up there and knows every detail about their lives, where they come from, their education, you know, where they sent money back to, and, you know, to you know, families that were in other countries. And I mean, it was just so, I was like an amazing story. And you're right, Christina, everyone who was there, everyone has a story, and there, and it's just, you know, I don't know.
I used to run a sales meeting slash contest every year. That the prize would be a limo would pick you up at your house, you and your significant other, and bring you to Windows on the World, where we would have a whole big spread, and then the limo would take you back home again. And it was a beautiful place. They did a great job up there. Even though it was a touristy place, it was also a place that, from a born New Yorker, I love going there. And like your mother, I didn't work there, but I used to go to the building all the time for business. And, you know, it's just, it's mind-boggling how the two big buildings like that can be taken down with all the people that were in them. I mean, in hindsight, there's probably times where there were like 40 or 50,000 people in those two buildings. And it happened to be at an early time in the day, and they weren't all there yet. You know, and that's, you know, that's easy for me and you to say, but if you happen to be a family member of one of the people, that's the 3,000, you know, that's not so easy.
Right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say it was also primary day in the city. So a lot of people were voting before work. It was the first day of school for a lot of kids, you know, kindergarten through high school. So a lot of parents were home. So there, you know, there were a lot of people that would, like you said, would have been there. And I mean, it doesn't take away from the, you know, horrific loss that.
Do you remember where you were? What?
Me? Oh yeah. I was home. My youngest son was watching Barney on television, and my older son Matthew was in school. He was in first grade, and my brother-in-law called, and he was a NYPD police officer. He was highway, and he just gave me some information. And I turned on the, you know, channel 4, whatever channel I was turning on, and my son Luke had a fit because I turned off Barney. And it was back when, you know, I didn't have multiple televisions. I mean, 20 years ago, I had the television downstairs. So I had to run into another room, and I had to use a pair of pliers to turn the television on. But, you know, it was surreal. And, you know, I remember calling the school and saying, should I pick up my son from school? And, you know, because some other moms on the block were picking up the kids, and they said, please don't, they're safe here. We have everything under control. We have some parents who we can't contact, that they're the mother, wife was trying to reach the husband and they weren't able to contact. So there were kids that, you know, parents weren't identified yet. So it was crazy, but it was really, you know, really, really trying time. But I see that Nassau County Executive Laura Curran is here with us now. And
yes, I'm sorry that I'm late. We had a beautiful ceremony at the county jail, the corrections department and the corrections union put on. So that is why I'm late, but I'm very happy to be with you now and to join with you and your listeners on this It's a very solemn day.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. Now,
Laura, we were just talking about where we were. Where were you when 9/11 happened?
So I was home, and my mother called, and she said, oh, my God, it looks like a little plane crashed into the World Trade Center. Turn on your television. And turned it on, and, you know, was watching. And then, as we were watching, the second plane hit, and that's when I think it sunk into our collective consciousness that this was not some accident, this was not some mistake, this was intentional, and this was terrorism. And I just remember the feeling of fear. What's next? What's going to happen down in Manhattan? What's going to happen in the rest of the country? And it was just this surreal out-of-body experience. You know, and I had loved ones who worked there. Thank God everyone got out okay. But it was, you know, and having come from a reporter's background, I was home with my youngest, so I wasn't working at the time, just doing freelance. But you know, all of my colleagues down there covering it, worrying about them. And then you think about 20 years has gone by, and it really feels like the blink of an eye. And Nassau County, we had a beautiful ceremony last night at Eisenhower Park. We unveiled a monument to the first responders whose lives have been lost since 9/11. You know, we just had a woman whose remains were identified, a woman who lived in the village of Hempstead. We're still finding remains of people, and also we're losing people, it seems, on a weekly basis. First responders who worked down there, who worked out on the landfill in Staten Island, worked at Ground Zero, who are now getting sick and dying. And so we wanted to make sure that we were commemorating and honoring them as well. Their names may not be on the wall of those that died that day, but they did die because of 9/11.
Yeah, it's just thinking it's 20 years ago is so, another thing we were talking about, it's like 20 years, but that day is so vivid in everyone's mind. I mean, I could replay it too. Like you, I was, you know, a young mom, and, you know, I had a 2-year-old who was watching Barney, and you know, someone called me, and I was like, okay, Luke, honey, I got to like put on the news. And, you know, he had a fit. And it was like, you know, that's his reality. And you know, and then, you know, but I got him away, got him on another TV and turned on the television. And it was from that moment on, it was so surreal. Just so.
Yeah. I was coming home on that Sunday, that Monday, with two of my grandsons from a Jet game in New Jersey. One was 9 and one was 14. And we went over the George Washington Bridge going home, and they both remember, and so do I, that it was a beautifully clear sky, and we looked at the World Trade Center and the city skyline, saying how beautiful it was. And then the next day, it was gone. And, you know, they both remember clearly, you know, that moment, how quickly it just, you know.
Yeah, one day it's there and the next day it's gone.
Yeah. It was.
I remember,
North Hempstead tomorrow is going to have at 8:15 at Manhasset Valley Park. They're actually going to be having a memorial service and also unveiling a monument that has a 19-foot-long beam from the World Trade Center. So that's going to be over at Manhasset Valley Park, and, you know, just honoring, you know, the victims and really focusing also on the first responders, Laura, as you said, because that's something that is certainly such a big part of that day.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Very much so. And I think about those first responders who died, and how we can't, you know, these are folks, whether they're in law enforcement, corrections, whatever it is, these are people who put their lives on the line every day. It's just what they do, you know, others above self. And it just reminds me that we can never take the freedoms that we enjoy in this country for granted. And I think that's what the terrorists wanted to do. They wanted to destroy our freedom, destroy our way of life, completely destabilize us. And those of us who are left have to really work extra hard to defend our freedoms and to honor and respect those who protect us, who really are out there on the front lines protecting these freedoms. And so, you know, I am overwhelmed with a feeling of gratitude for living in this country that, in a way, it sounds so strange, but that drives people crazy, the fact that we have the freedom to think what we want, pray as we want, you know, live as we want. They hate it so much they want to destroy it, and because it's so precious.
And you know what's so interesting too, and I agree, everything you're saying is so true. The amount of people, of first responders, who were volunteering to do this, who, you know, are volunteer firemen, or, I mean, you know, of course, those who are also paid to do it, it's, they work beyond, you know, they're dedicated and heroes. But, you know, the fact that people are volunteering their life to protect us and all that they did that day. And, you know, a lot of first responders, too, were, you know, laymen, just people going there and trying to help and became heroes. And
that's right. Imagine that. Yeah, the selflessness.
I know. I know.
A lot of the volunteer fire companies in Nassau County volunteered to go there. You know, it's a tough.
Yeah, that's right. And think about, we lost close to 350 people on that day of Nassau County residents. And so first responders, firemen, police, and just regular people going to work mm-hmm. on a beautiful Tuesday morning, you know, providing for their families, just living their life, and then whew, gone.
Yeah. I think that Nassau County is doing a really good job of, you know, with the ceremonies of keeping the memory alive and going. And, you know, your point that people are still dying because of 9/11. So it's not over, you know, and that, you know, people need to be aware and, you know, I just, you know, all prayers are with all the families and our entire country.
Yeah, and you know, I would encourage everyone, if this is something that you know, you want to join with others, the town of North Hempstead is doing an event.
Right.
Villages, towns, communities. I was at the Wantagh Chamber of Commerce. They had a beautiful ceremony later last night as the sun was setting. So, you know, to go and to gather and to give comfort and solace to the families who lost loved ones, and just to be together, I think is really important right now. That sense of community is really important right now. And I know that we weren't able to commemorate last year in the way that we normally do. And right. This being the 20th, and then we can get together. I think it's a beautiful thing if you can and you're moved to do it. You certainly have opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. And at like you were saying, we weren't able to do it last year. And I know every time you come on, you do give us a little bit of an update on COVID and the pandemic and
yeah, sure. Well, actually, that's not a bad segue, because we can get together. We can do things together again. So we're doing really well. A big shout out to our residents in Nassau County. While we see places like Mississippi with 38% vaccination and their hospitals are overrun, they have to ration care. Here in Nassau, we're now close to 90% of 18 and older being vaccinated. Last I heard, 89.1%. We've reached our million person vaccinated threshold, and our hospitals are in good shape. We've been pretty steady with the hospitalizations for the past month. And just to put it in perspective, with the Delta mm-hmm. variant in Nassau County, in a normal flu season, we would have more people in the hospital right now with flu than we have folks with COVID now. So we are doing very well. Our health department is bringing the vaccine now to workplaces, and we've had dozens and dozens of businesses call and set up. Our team comes. We've done a McDonald's, we've done a florist, we do restaurants, nonprofits, whoever wants us, get in touch. You know, we can get 18 people done at a work site, we can get 6 people done at a work site. That's what chips away, and I think that's what elevates us above the rest of the state in terms of our vaccination number. We want to make it, as you know, take away all the barriers.
And can people are there home visits too? Can somebody go to somebody's home and
we had been doing home visits with our medics, but that has slowed down. However, you know, if people have a special need, they can certainly get in touch and we can see if we can accommodate them. But most of the homebound, the vulnerable population, we've done. So they've had their shot. You know, we're waiting to see about when the news settles about boosters. When, if and when that becomes available, that'll be a push as well. So stay tuned for that. Now we do have, I don't know if this is what you were going to ask, Otto, but we do have some breakthrough cases from the Delta variant. And it's less than a quarter of our hospitalizations are folks who are fully vaccinated. So less than 25%. But the interesting thing is some of them are women who are there delivering babies. They're not there for COVID. They're there because they had a car crash, broke their leg, they're having a baby, whatever it is. And everybody gets tested. So a lot of those folks who are in the hospital with COVID are actually in the hospital for another reason, asymptomatic. But you catch it. You catch it in the hospital. Yeah, it's an interesting statistic.
Yeah, my point was you mentioned boosters. Like my original shots were at Yes We Can, which was Nassau County Department of Health. Do you visualize the county being involved with booster shots when booster shots are available? Now, how do you visualize that this will happen? You had to have an appointment to do, you know, one and two. Do you visualize the need to be set up an appointment? And will the Nassau County Department of Health have locations? You know, what's your view right now? I realize it can change.
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. So it is possible. However, when we first set up Yes We Can and Nassau Community College, when we set up those mass vaccination sites, when the state did Jones Beach, for instance, there was not a lot of access to vaccine. So really the only people who were getting it were local departments of health and hospitals. And there wasn't a lot of it. Remember how everyone was trying to get it? It was almost like the Hunger Games back then. Now it's so widely available at your CVS, at your Walgreens, at your doctor's office, that it might be a waste of resources, frankly, to set up these mass vaccination sites again, because it's everywhere. So, you know, our health department is still obviously working on COVID, but they've got to do the restaurant inspections, the water tests, you know, they're still doing what they're doing out there in the world. Other contact tracing, you know, other diseases are still going on. So it might not make sense, logical sense, to put, have that huge mobilization again, when you can go to your Walgreens, you know, you have your vaccination record, you know, when you got it, it's all in the database, you know, when you got it, you know, what kind you got.
Right.
So to set it up at a Walgreens, a CVS, your local doctor makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
Otto, my mother just got hers yesterday at a CVS. Evelyn got her booster yesterday.
Really? I didn't even know they had boosters available.
Yes. You call CVS, and my uncle called a couple of days ago, and he got an appointment for Sunday. So, yeah, you can call. And, you know, you have, there's a questionnaire that will ask you questions if, you know, you have an autoimmune disease, why you would need it now, you know. But I think being a senior is...
You have to have some kind of
condition. I don't think so if you're a senior. But, you know, you have to, it also has to be spaced, I guess, 6 months or beyond. But when you call, they have all the facts. So I'm not 100% sure. But she was able to get her booster, and she had her shots, I believe, in early March. She was completed by then. So
okay. Well, we had another disaster recently, Ida, and I did see in Newsday that you were encouraging people to report damage that they may have sustained because of Ida. How does one go about doing that? And you know, what's the benefit? Why should they be doing it?
So this was to get FEMA designation for Nassau County to be included in New York State's designated counties that were affected by Ida. So I wanted to make sure that we were in there. So we had to show that we had $5 million worth of damage or more, which clearly we did, in Great Neck, in Manor Haven, where there were mudslides of all things. There were some pockets around the North Shore, especially that had very serious damage that they don't normally see because it rained so much. You know, it's like putting 10 pounds in a 5 pound bag. The water just couldn't drain fast enough. So the way to get that designation was to have people call our Office of Emergency Management so that we could quantify it, make the case. So the good news is we were successful in that. We now have that designation. So folks can it's a very easy form to fill out. If you live in Nassau and you had damage to your home because of Ida, and you can quantify it, document it, if you have, hopefully everyone's taken pictures, kept receipts, all of that, it is possible that you can be reimbursed. So we wanted to make sure that we were in the mix. We now are in the mix, thanks to all of the folks who called in. If you need to get in touch with the Office of Emergency Management, I will give you that number. They can help you sort it out. It's 573-9600. Thank you, Otto.
I wrote it down.
All right, good. I would hate to give the wrong number over the air. That wouldn't be good.
This one is off the wall altogether, all right? A lot of people I hear in many conversations, I'll use the words driver insanity. I mean, there were people who were driving like complete maniacs on a fairly regular basis. And I was wondering what can be done about that. And, you know, I know the county is not like, you know, you can't inject people to drive like normal human beings. But is there any talk at all about how to try to keep people from 100 miles an hour?
Yes, yes. So we had the police commissioner and I had a press conference about a month ago, because summer, with kids home from college, with people forgetting how to drive because they were stuck inside for a year, people seem weird and angry right now out there on the roads. I don't know if you guys are noticing it. a lot of aggressive driving, people speeding. There's these new very loud cars. So anyway, we did that press conference to talk about stepped up enforcement. So Nassau County Police are out there. They're monitoring the roadways and they're pulling people over. There's distracted driving. There's aggressive driving. There's texting driving. Obviously, we have zero tolerance for driving while intoxicated. So we're really stepping up enforcement. Just yesterday, we had another press conference because unfortunately, we've had 7 car accidents this summer down by a construction project. It's a big sewage conversion, conveyance project. 7 accidents. People are not most people are. So I have to say that most people are good drivers, but there are some who are really flouting the rules around construction sites. We're repaving a lot of roads in Nassau County, so there's a lot of work sites, and we're stepping up enforcement now. We want to remind everyone, if you drive recklessly, if you have moving violations by a work site, it's twice the fine, and if you do it often enough, you're going to lose your license. You know, you can have your license suspended. So we wanted to let everyone know, you know, be careful. These people are working right on the road. It's very dangerous. And if you're in that much of a rush, we actually have, a texting service where it's going to go live on Monday, where people, you can just go to our website, Department of Public Works. It'll have the texting information up there, but you can get an update in the morning about what roads are being worked on, and so that you can plan your day. If you're in a rush, we want to make sure that you can get there quickly. So we just want to give you that information in case we don't want to catch anyone by surprise. So we encourage everyone, you know, we're going to do our part with enforcement, but we're asking people to do their part to go and check out what roads are being worked on where.
Thank you so much. We actually have to take a quick break. We've been speaking with Nassau County Executive Laura Curran.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, County Executive. It's great to have you on.
Thanks for having me again. I always love coming on your show.
Thank you. We'll see you soon. You've been listening to Project Independence in You here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We will be right back.